time for a little bit of legal speech. It's the news. According to me. Wow, that's loud. That was kind of loud there. Sorry. I didn't realize how loud that was. Wow. That's a make some adjustments here. Oh, what's that one? Okay. All right, there we go. Hey, we got. Well, that's loud too. I'm loud. I'm just maybe my headphones are just turned up too loud. What's going on with that? I have. It is Wednesday, August 28th, 12:09 p.m. Sorry, it's afternoon. The afternoon of Wednesday, 2024. I started the show earlier and got halfway into my little. I got a little intro done. And I hit the button and I realized I had no chai. I'm at the worldwide headquarters. My day has been a little bit messed up, but it's just this vacation thing. It's just, you know, because there's no schedule. So my wife and I decided to go out for breakfast this morning, and that just threw everything off. So we went out to breakfast and, of course, met up with some other. So I happened to see my former father-in-law, father, stepfather-in-law. He's almost 90 years old now. He happened to be out with his new wife, his third wife, actually, now. He was kind of some kind of church group he was out with. That'll be me in about 25, 30 years. I started figuring it out. Those guys are probably all. He's still driving his car, and he shouldn't be. I don't think he should be driving though at this point, but. He did a fine job, parked it okay, and did everything fine, but he's just not probably shouldn't be out there doing that. So we ended up, sometimes I wonder if I should be driving a car anymore. No, it's kind of crazy. But I know that about half the people out on the road that I'm driving around, that half of those shouldn't be on the road. That would make my life a lot easier if they just got off the road. Anyway, it's interesting stuff going on in the world. So I have no creamer in this, by the way. I have no creamer here. I'm at the worldwide headquarters. I don't know if I mentioned. Did I mention that? I don't think I did. There's nobody here to tell me what I've said. I'm here at the worldwide headquarters, international studios of the News According to Me. It has a big sign out front. The News According to Me. It's got my picture on it. Great big microphone. Me with a headset on. It's all in my head. If I had my way, that's the way it would be, but the city would charge me for that. You want to put a sign up, we have to charge you for that because, after all, you're putting a sign up, so we have to charge you for that because you have to pay for that. Oh, okay. Because you're providing me the air that's going into? I own the property here. No, you don't own the property. We own the property. You're just paying us rent for that. Oh. That's how that works. I had a big kerfuffle with the building inspector here in town a while back. There was a person on the board. This is the political stuff that happens here in this town. There was a person on the city council board. The city council actually has almost more power, which it probably should have. It has more power than the mayor does, which is fine. The mayor shouldn't be the king of the city. It's just he's just kind of the spokesperson for the city. And the way this should work is, you know, you have representatives in different districts, and they all elect a specific certain council member, whatever. The problem with this town is that they have been in the past very left-leaning for some reason. I don't know why, because this is a very heavily manufacturing industry area. I think some of the problem is that there's a community college in this county. This is the town I'm in is not the county seat, but it's the larger, largest city town, what do you want to call it, in this county. And because of that, I think that we still get several, we get some fallout, some fall over, fall up, fall down from that situation, I think. I think that some of that trickles into this particular town. So what we have here hearing something outside. Sounds kind of interesting. I hope it's outside. Sounds like an animal. But we have, and there's also, all kinds of traffic, people driving by my highly soundproof studio here. I can hear cars outside. So we have all this, I got the door open, that's why. So the city council, I got a call one day. Hey, you want to know if you want to sell your property? Now, the guy didn't represent himself as a city council member. He just obviously wanted to buy the property. And he told me his name, but he didn't really say, he wasn't real clear on that. He just says, I think his name is Bob or whatever. He didn't say what his last name was. And I said, well, I'm willing to sell it. And I said, I really kind of, I use it for several things. I said, but I'm willing to sell it, but I wouldn't want to sell it. I'm not really in the market to sell it. I mean, everything's for sale, obviously, but somebody walks up to me and offers me $1 million for the place. I probably would entertain that, but it's probably worth a tenth of that, or maybe more. I don't know. I've owned it for about 10 years. Was it more than that? I guess about 12 years to 13 years. And I didn't pay much for it. Kind of got it on when you really stop and think about it, I didn't pay much for this place at all. At the time, I thought it was a lot of money. And it was, I guess, for me, it was a lot of money for my budget back then. However, I wouldn't sell it for that now. I mean, I put a new roof on the place, put a new air conditioning system, heating system, high efficiency heating system in it. I've done some things to the place that have been some obvious investments. And I'd want at least twice what I paid for it. But that's it's questionable whether I could get that much. This area is kind of run down. It's not really a developing area. However, I think that this property, because of the zoning here, it's a B1. It's a business zone district. What do they call it? It's not completely a business zoning area. This particular spot, though, this lot has it was a gas station back in the 50s, and it was back when they had the old service stations. There's no gas tanks here anymore. There was also a little service station right up on the right around the corner, and there was a little drive-in restaurant. Right here within the same block. They tore down the drive-in shortly after I got here. They tore everything down out of that area. I think the city actually bought that. Then they have there's a building that sat empty for a long time. It was just sat there empty. No windows or anything in it. But it was part of a service station as well that had been left standing there. And but this area, this one was, it still has two stalls. And then what ended up happening was this building was purchased by a company called Service Master. And they do, it's kind of like ServPro or whatever you call it. They do restoration services. Well, they ended up selling this. They actually built another building. It's huge. It has, I think, 7 or 8 stalls for trucks. And, it's probably 5 times the size this building is. At least, and then of course the offices that they have are much larger as well. This is about half offices and half shop area. So I've got a 2-stall car bay type thing where you could do some kind of car work here if you wanted to put in. It'd be a great place for like somebody who wanted to do like a Auto One type place where you put in aftermarket remote starters, tinting, window tinting, Z-Bart type stuff like that, just corrosion proof, whatever you want to do with it. I mean, just you could do that kind of stuff, just stereos, You could do like an auto, you know, auto stereo place. Stuff, something like, it'd be great for that. A little, you know, easy mechanic, oil change type stuff. Whatever you want to do here. Just this would be a great place for that. Because it's got, you know, got the stalls, got the bays, already kind of fixed up for that. Be a nice little shop for that. It's got the front end with a little bit of office space here and some storage. So it'd be great for that. Now, having said that, I had some manufacturing needs, and so I was using the shop as more of a manufacturing area. And at the time, this was back in 07, 08. I think I bought it in 08. So yeah, I guess I've had it for... Well, we're pushing 15 years at least, I guess. The place should be worth a lot more now. I don't know what it is worth, but it's probably worth a lot more. Now, I could rent the place out. I'm sure I could rent it out. In fact, I've been approached by several people to rent the place out. But a few years ago, I think this was probably about 5 or 6 years ago. Maybe less than that. I think it was about 5 years ago. I got approached by this guy who wanted to buy the place. He just called me on the phone. And in the meantime, I kind of talked to him a little bit. I wasn't really that interested in selling it. So I was going to ask him, you know, you just make a pretty good offer to buy it, because I really don't want to sell it. And this is before I had done some other upgrades on it. So this, at that time, it was just, you know, sell it as it is. Now, since then, in the last 5 years, I've done the heating and air conditioning, the roof. I put a metal roof on, and some other things around the building, but new hot water system and that kind of stuff. I don't know. He seemed a little sketchy to me. I think he was sincere. He wanted to buy it, but he didn't. He was kind of standoffish. So it was, you know, a 10-minute phone call, five minutes maybe. And he ended up, you know, we parted our ways, and he never heard from him again. Within about a month after that, I started getting notices from the city that I needed to fix up the building. You know, first it starts off with, oh, you have to mow your yard. Your yard is more than 7 inches tall, so you have to mow. They come out and they measure. They find one weed that's growing over 7 inches, and they start, oh, this is your notice that if you don't get this mowed within, you know, 1 week, we're going to fine you $20 the first time. Then it goes up. It goes exponential. So it goes 20, 40, 80, 160, 320. That's how they do it. They double it every time. So then they came out and they had these other inspections that they were doing. A total, you know, they sent some pictures of some things, like some fascia had fallen down in the back, and some other things that happened. This had to be more than 5 years ago. Some other things that were going on with the building. There was some siding in the back that apparently, when I bought the place, it was like that. They apparently had a dumpster out back at one point, and when they went to pick up the dumpster a couple times, I guess they bumped up against the side of the building, so the siding was cracked in a couple places. City, you know, that was one of the things they wanted me to fix. Good luck finding the right color. I'll get into that later. And there were some other things. The weeds growing up around some areas, and I had some like stray trees that were growing up along the alleyway, which I thought looked pretty nice actually, but they didn't like it. I had a busted window in the front that I'd boarded up because somebody, a rock came through the window. I'm pretty sure from the street. I'm pretty sure because it was kind of in the late fall season. We had just had a couple snows, and I think a truck went by probably and hit a rock, came through the window. I don't think because it came through really high at the top. There wasn't like somebody was trying to break into the building. I don't think, because it just happened to come through the window, all the way through a double pane window, smashed it up pretty bad. But there was no way anybody's going to break that and then come through the window. That would have happened a lot lower than what that window was. So that made no sense. Unless somebody just threw it at the building just to see what they could do. I don't know. That's possible. But they would have had to. I don't know if anybody could throw a rock that hard to get through that. That's just, I think it had to have been from a truck. So I had some plywood over the window, and they didn't like that. Now, keep in mind, this is not a building that I was having walk-in traffic. There's nobody that comes here to. I did at one time back in 2012. in that range somewhere, 2011, 2012. I think I was having walk-in traffic here for some other thing. I was selling security cameras and other stuff, and it just became, I did that for about a year, and it just became annoying to be open for people to walk. Hardly anybody ever walked in. And people who did walk in wanted to talk, or they were homeless or whatever, or they were begging for money. So I ended up trying to fix up everything that I saw in the pictures that they took. I went ahead and fixed. I got another notice, and I got a fine. Of course, the first time it was $40, whatever it was. And I got another notice, and it said I owed $80. I had to get it fixed up. Okay, so I sent back a letter. I said, what are the items? I said, what am I doing wrong here? I fixed up everything you sent me pictures of. I'm not sure exactly, in the list of things that you had there. Everything that's in the pictures I fixed. What more do you need? I said, I'd ask that you please stop doing this. Come meet me at the building, something, to point out all the things that I need to fix. Yes, sir. Yes, whatever. You're my master. You tell me what to do. So I'm just the slave. I'm just the chattel out here, tending to your property. So we have, he never sent anything. Never responded to my email, to my letter, I sent a physical letter, I believe. I get this another notice then about 30 days later, and it's for $300 and some for the fine. So I went downtown, and I showed up at the office. Of course, he wasn't there. He walked in a little bit later. They don't expect you to just show up down there, because nobody does that, this day and age. So I said, "Did you get my email?" He said, "Yes, I got your email." So, well, why didn't you respond to it? I said, I had some serious questions. All you did was wait, and then you find me again. Well, that's just not the way we do. We don't meet people at their buildings. Then he showed me some other pictures. Well, there's all these other pictures here of the property, and one of them had my car in it. I said, "I was there. You could have just knocked on the door, and you could have just explained to me whatever needed to be done. Why not just have that communication face to face instead of just sending me these ambiguous letters with vague attempts to try to tell me what needs to be done for my overlords here in town to make their city look better?" And I said, "I can take you around the block and show you 10 other properties that look 10 times worse than mine, and you're picking on my property." So it's selective enforcement. We don't have, we can't, base it on that. I said, "Okay, so the broken window, so how can I replace that with," because he started being really particular about everything. Does the siding in the back that I have to replace, does it have to be exactly the same color? Because it's old faded siding, and I'm not sure I can find, even if I find the original color, it's not going to look the same, because it's going to be a darker color. I think it's kind of faded out. It's not. I said, "Can I just paint the siding? Can I do something like that?" "Well, you can do whatever you want to, as long as it matches." He says, "It has to match the original siding." I'm like, "Well, really, it has to match the siding. I can't just put white siding or black siding on there, or whatever I want to do is pink siding, whatever. No, it has to blend in. It has to look aesthetically pleasing." And that's, where is that? See, the problem with this kind of thing, I started realizing this is very much a subjective call. What is congruent with the neighborhood? What blends in with the neighborhood? Well, I need to put a couple trashy bikes in the yard and maybe an old refrigerator upside down with the door open. That would blend in with the neighborhood. So it was kind of one of those weird things where I started realizing, hey, this is ridiculous. There's no standard here. This is all subjective opinion on this guy's, basis. So I said, "So when I replace this window, if I replace the window, what color can the window be? Can it be opaque? What do you mean by opaque?" I said, can't see through it. As long as it's, you know, blends in with the community. I don't think that's going to blend in with the community. I'm like, so this is where we're going with this. So I started asking him all kinds of weird questions. Can I do this? Can I do that? Well, that wouldn't blend in with the community. So really, I said, this is kind of a subjective thing here. I can't just paint my building red. But I can. It's my property, and I can paint it red if I want to. What if my business is called The Red Shop? Or I just guess I have to name it. This shop would be red if the city would let me paint it that color. What is the wannabe red shop, I guess. It's really very frustrating. So he finally took me up to his supervisor. We had this big, long talk in the office there. And we were chatting a little bit about some things. And I said, all I'm asking is that you drop this fee. This fine. I paid the first one. Drop this fine, and I'll get everything done in 90 days. Give me 90 days to get it done. Okay. They dropped it. Well, then I happened to mention, I started realizing what was going on. During the meeting, I can't remember what it was that sparked it. I all of a sudden I realized I'm being singled out, sorted out, targeted, because this guy on the board was the guy who called me. I said, who's complaining? Is somebody in the neighborhood complaining? I said, I don't even know who it is, but just said, is somebody? Noel is actually a board member. A city council member saw it and said that it had to be done. Oh. Then I started putting some things together, because I know somebody on the city council board, and somebody I happen to know that there is a particular person on the board that kept talking about my property and was interested in buying it. And it's not just easy for just anybody just to find out who owns a property. You have to know what you're doing to find out, to drive past a property that you think is, that you're interested in, find out who owns it. That takes some research. That takes some actually access to some files, to some documentation. Most of the general population, the general public will not, they don't know how to do that. Now, I've been a realtor. I was a real estate broker. I understand how to do that. There's places I can go and websites. I can find out who owns whatever property. I can find out what their taxes are paid. I can find out all this stuff. And yes, in this case, I'm pretty sure that this board member was the one who wanted to buy my property. And he's the one who was complaining. He was trying to drive me out. What he wanted to do was say, you know, forget it. I don't want to stay here anymore. I don't want the property anymore. It's too much of a hassle. I'm just going to sell it. That's what he was trying to do. And if I wasn't going to sell it, he was going to hassle me and harass me. When I mentioned something about that to this inspector in front of his supervisor, all of a sudden, the harassment stopped. They never bothered me ever again. It's been years. And I have to say, the place is not in any better shape now than it was then. I had all the fascia reattached and things fixed, all this stuff done at one point, and I have fascia falling down again, because that's what happens. This particular building, it's old. I have a permanent solution for some of this stuff, but it hasn't been done yet. So it's rather tall. The fascia is not just 8 feet tall. It's up there. It's probably 15 feet. It's a little bit hard to get to. That's probably at least 12 feet. Might be some areas it's 15. It's closer to 15. So it's not like I can just crawl up on a regular ladder and fix it. I got a pretty tall ladder. It's kind of dangerous in some areas with what's below it and stuff like that. So I got to get some of that stuff done. And it's going to take a whole day probably to really get everything done. Of course, they're always now the neighbors. Anyway. Never had any complaints from the neighbors at all about anything. So that's my story there about that whole thing. Now, regardless of that, time to change gears. Let's talk about the show, since I'm already 24 minutes into this. I have this little clip I want to play. Let's start off with this because it's pretty. This is Joe Scarborough, who's just known for just getting on this passionate. I'm going to stick my foot so far down my throat that it's, you know, he doesn't just put it in his mouth. He sticks it down his throat. This is the best version of Joe Biden. He's the best version. This is Joe Biden 2.0. He's the best version. He's cogent. By the way, he's gone. Oh, yay, he's gone. Oh, good. Kamala is the best thing that ever happened to this country. She's the only one who can fix our country. We love Joe, but he's gone. So that's the best. The reason it's the best version of Joe is because he was able to. He's such a hero for laying his life down so that Kamala can be the president. Why don't you just resign, Joe? Then she'll be the president. That's coming, by the way. I believe it in a very short period of time. Come on. I don't believe Donald Trump is going to be the 47th president. He's going to be the 48th president because Kamala, at some point, I think it's going to happen before the election. And here's my theory on this. Kamala's going to do one sit-down interview. Of course, it's not going to be by herself. It's going to be with Tim Walz. The reason is because Tim Walz presents very well. He can present himself very well. He is a pep rally football coach kind of guy who, you know, people tend to like. Now, the problem is his underlying philosophies and ideologies are radical left. But he comes across as this, and he can tell a story and wrap a story up, and he can just, the lies just fly out of his mouth. It is unbelievable. With this guy, the more I learn about this guy, and of course, a lot of it comes back to, just look at the church he goes to. It's ridiculous. But there's all this stuff. So he's a freak. But he presents much better than Kamala Harris. Well, but I haven't been to Europe. I don't know. Well, see, Ukraine is a country in Europe. Oh, wait, I'm talking to a black crowd. Ukraine is a country in Europe. She's such a. This one guy was talking about this guy's name. I can't remember his name. I think I had a show. I mentioned this on the show before. It's called code shifting. Which when you're talking to people. People who are from the South, particularly, if they move someplace and they live someplace, say they live in the North for a long time, when they go back down South, they kind of tend to talk that way again. It's like you kind of go back. It's called code shifting. You're kind of among your people and you're kind of talking like they talk. And then when you're not among them, you're among other people. Code shifting is a thing. Don't get me wrong. It's when you do that. I get it. You're kind of talking their language, you're trying to relate to them on their level, trying to say, I get that. However, here's the problem. She's never talked like that before in her life. And she's not African-American. Let's just put it that way. She has no African-American background in her at all. All you do is listen to what her father said. Her father supposedly is the one who's got this African. Her mother was Indian. Let's talk, you know, if you read, if the Judge Joe Brown was interviewed, he knew her father very well. And what he quoted what he used to say about himself. She's not African American. She's pretending like she is. Of course, when she's up in that crowd and she's talking, she tries to talk all just ethnic, you know, doing all the right things, the right drawl, the right swagger to her voice. This is exactly what Barack Obama would do. Exactly. I think she has studied Barack Obama and the way he would do speeches. I'm sure she has the same coach because he would do the same thing. He would get in front of a crowd of people and he would start, all of a sudden, he would start, oh, you know, you can't do this. But when he would talk to Congress, when he would talk to the news, he would speak like a Midwestern typical person. Why is that?
Well, it's code shifting. It's okay. It's code shifting. It's just code shifting.
Well, there's a problem with code shifting. The code shifting is the term that's used. The problem is what's the motivation behind it? You're trying to sway people. You're trying to influence them. You're trying to manipulate them into receiving what you have to say. This kind of manipulation is a problem. Because it shows a deceitfulness deeper down in the heart. I have some friends, many friends, who are people of color. When I talk to them, I don't change. I don't code shift. I think it would be condescending to do so, and I believe it's very condescending in that respect. Now, she is out there talking to everybody from a speech, from a teleprompter. That's all we've heard from her. She has a sit-down interview planned, I guess, later on. I think it's next week. She was hoping to get it done by the end of the month. Well, that's not going to happen. It's not going to happen. Unless it happens this week, I'm not sure exactly. But it's going to be only with one particular, I think it's CNN, I think it is. It's recorded. It's not going to be a live thing. And of course, it's going to be with Tim Walz because he can carry the show. He can. What you're going to find, when she answers a question, she does this a lot, she will repeat herself. She's filling time because she can't think on her toes. Tim Walz can. The problem is he's very sharp. The problem is his answers are very deceitful. He's very manipulative. He's very deceptive. I don't think he even knows it. I'm not sure how. I think it's just the way he operates. It's the way he always operates. The things he has said about IVF. First of all, the Republican Party, the platform is not, the Republican Party is not to do away with IVF. A lot of things that they're quoting from, a lot of things that they think that are on the agenda of the president are 2025 stuff. That's not Donald Trump. A lot of the things that are on the agenda. Another one is a nationwide ban on abortion, federal ban on abortion. That is not. But I would lean towards that. That is not in Donald Trump's purview. He's not talking about that. He's denied it more than once on more than one occasion. Well, he's just saying that now. He's going to do it when it gets in. Okay. Now, whatever. Now you're just making. Now there's the straw man thing. I'm just making stuff up. Apparently, you know what's in his head. So I want to play this little thing. This is just a typical Joe Scarborough mentality. I think he manifests the mentality of the legacy media and what they do. Here he is in this particular situation. Him and Mika are on the screen here. This is courtesy of Sky News Australia, by the way. Let's just play this.
Even the New York Post knew it was a lie. They published a series of lies peddled to them by Rudy Giuliani, who admitted that nobody else would take it but Rupert Murdoch's New York Post, because they might look into it and tell the truth. Here we are in 2020. This is what it's come down to, America. Giuliani is feeding Russian misinformation to Donald Trump and feeding Russian disinformation to the New York Post. They know it's a lie.
Yeah, well,
that's where we are in 2020.
The New York Post.
Just to let you know that they're still talking to Russians. And by the way, Russian hoax, come on.
Really, seriously,
history will expose you all as fools and useful idiots for the Russians.
The Russian hoax was a hoax. He's talking there about the Hunter Biden laptop. Because we were told in 2020 that it was Russian, he says misinformation the first time, disinformation. The Russian disinformation Remember the letter we got with all the, with the 51 or 50, however many it was. I think it was 50 and then one other signed on. Former intelligence, and actually current, some of the current intelligence officers, they're under contract, signed on to that letter that it was Russian, had all the earmarks, all the hallmarks of Russian disinformation. Oh, okay. Well, then we'll just go with that. Of course, Facebook went along with that. Oh, we have to curtail. We have to censor anything about the Russian, the Hunter laptop, because it's all misinformation. There's disinformation. Misinformation is when you say something and you got the facts wrong. Yeah, the House on 1025 77th Street, it burned down last night. Oh, it wasn't 1025. It was 1027. Burned down. And that's misinformation. Disinformation would be, there's a train crashed last night at 1025 at the intersection of Kennedy 17 and whatever. And it never happened. You just made it up because you wanted to make it, because you were late for work and you said, I had a train crash there. I got slowed down by a train crash. Oh, well, that should be in the news. Well, you won't hear about it in the news because they're trying to hide it. So this is a conspiracy theory. So, you know, QAnon. So that's what they do. That's disinformation, where you're just trying to make something up to make something up so that you have an agenda, to fit your agenda. That's the kind of stuff that happens. Now, you could argue that Joe Scarborough is either a complete and total buffoon and an idiot and incredibly, like, has two brain cells and they don't talk to each other. Or you could argue that he is knowingly, willingly saying things that he knows are not true. For whatever motivation, whatever reason, he's getting paid to do it, basically, yes. So, I think it's the latter. However, I think there's a mixture of the first part with the latter. And unfortunately, he is very, very lost individual. But I digress. We have, but this is the mentality of our legacy media right now. They were prepared right after they are hand in glove with the Democrat Party. Let's just put it that way. Right after the debate with Joe Biden, the initial, they already had the words that they were going to say. Donald Trump lies. Donald Trump lies. All he did was lie. Lie, lie, lie. Everything that came out of his mouth was a lie. That's, you know, they just need to get that initial reaction in there because they know that's about 80% of it. Only about 20%. Later on, we'll find out, Donald Trump did tell the truth on that one. Well, I guess that was true what he said. And it's briefly mentioned, you know, later on, and it has about a 20% effect on them. Well, people are starting to recognize this kind of stuff now. People are starting to pay attention. We're getting closer to the election. People are starting to kind of pay attention a little bit more. Especially in October, people start actually tuning into what's going on with the election stuff. This whole thing with Kamala Harris, the fact that she's not talking to anybody, not doing any interviews, she's going to do one interview, it's a co-interview with her VP, and she's going to have one debate. She hasn't agreed to any other debates yet. They haven't finalized anything else. I think, personally, that what's going to happen here, they're trying to keep her in the basement. This is what they did with Joe. They're planning on doing the same nefarious stuff that they did before with the mail-in ballots, especially in New York and everywhere else. Trying to change the rules. And they're going to come up with a reason to change the rules at some point, which that's a little bit scary, because as the closer we get, the more catastrophic it's going to have to be. It can't just be some kind of flu outbreak. Even though they're kind of ramping up this bird flu thing now. Trying to make that some kind of an issue. But I don't think American people are going to fall for that again. Sadly, we could have a really, it's like a serious outbreak and nobody would nobody's going to believe, know what to believe. More than half the population now is going to, they're all into them. Like, I'm not believing that. I'm not going to do that. So we have all this stuff going on. And what ends up happening here is they're going to hide her. They're wrapping themselves in this ball of we're winning, we're winning, we're winning. And all, of course, all their polls, the public polls are saying that they're neck and neck. Of course, they're not. And swing states, no. And it's the momentum right now is on the Trump Vance side of things. Bobby Kennedy and Trump are doing an interview with Dr. Phil, is that what his name is? He's not actually a psychologist. He's going to be doing this interview with the two of them. I think he did an interview with Trump already, and he's going to do an interview with Kennedy as well. But now he's doing a joint interview with both of them, which I think will be fascinating to because I think Dr. Phil asks some really good questions. He's not biased. I don't think he's got some square questions. I think it's what people want. They just want some solid questions. Ask these guys. Give them a chance to respond. Don't just interrupt them, call them liars, you know, go just have a normal conversation with these people. That's what Elon Musk did with Donald Trump. He said a normal conversation. He did the same thing with Theo Vaughn. I mean, several of the podcasters out there, he'll just sit down and talk to them. Has a real conversation with them. Of course, when they get nasty and they get mad at him, and that's like the journalist, that one lady was trying to make a name for herself by going after Trump and asking him all these tough questions. She just came across as bitter and nasty. The guy had just gotten shot. I'm going to treat him that way. It's just, and I'm not saying boo-hoo, whatever, but it's only fair to say, hey, how is the injury? How have you felt? What all was damaged? Ask him some questions about his well-being and then get into it. Ask him one tough question instead of a barrage of all these stupid questions that she asked him.
Yeah.
So here we are. We have so many people right now. Now, according to Robert F. Kennedy, of course, Tulsi Gabbard now has come out. She has never fully supported Trump. Now she's fully supporting Donald Trump in this election. She's probably going to be on the campaign trail as well in some places. Robert Kennedy Jr. is going to be also going to be on the he's going to be on the campaign trail. Now, Vance has kind of taken a back seat to some of this. It's almost become a Trump Kennedy ticket in some ways, which is not. And I think it's important to recognize that. Hey. But Kennedy had a very solid group of supporters. There are a lot of people who were supporting Kennedy now that are upset that he's done it. There are fewer of them that have supported him that are upset with him than are actually going, okay, well, maybe there's something we need to look, maybe Trump's not so bad after all. And this the momentum of this, and I think the effect of this, is going to fan out into so many ways of saying, okay, so Kennedy was one of those people that if the election would have been held against, it would have been a Kennedy-Trump election, I think it would have been really hard for Trump to win that. It would have been much tougher. I think Kennedy would have been a tougher opponent than Joe Biden or Kamala Harris, either one. If it would be a Kamala-Kennedy or a Biden-Kennedy race, I believe Kennedy would win. I think he would. I think that the problem here that they've run into with trying to get any kind of traction is third-party candidates just don't go anywhere in this country. They just don't make it. They don't get elected because the rules are kind of twisted against them. People don't want to waste their vote. They don't want to throw away their vote on, this guy's only polling about 5%. I'm not going to vote for the guy because, he's not going to win. And that just takes away a vote from, at least takes away an anti-vote from the other person. I'm voting against somebody. So I mean, if you vote against the system, then you vote for Kennedy. But you're kind of throwing away. You're not, but you are. You're voting your conscience, whatever. But you're still kind of, you know, you have to, in the back of your mind, you're going, but I'm not getting anything accomplished here by voting for this other person or voting against that person, whatever. But vote for however you want. It's vote your conscience, whatever you want to do. Now, having said that, voting your conscience, I think having Kennedy now supporting Trump, this is going to create a landslide, especially in the Northeast and some other parts of the country. And I said it yesterday. Kennedy is non-establishment. He's definitely not a deep stater. The deep state hates his guts. He's one of those people, I think, that you can trust on your team because you know where you disagree and agree. And they're flat out open about that. We disagree on these things, but we agree on these things. And you'd be perfect to fit in and kind of figure some of this stuff out that we need in our administration. It is a coalition with a majority under certain ideologies. But it's this, let's work together to make our country better. He agrees with him on the border, and agrees with him on a lot of health issues. Let's go with that. He's very good at that stuff. He's very articulate and knows that stuff. So let's do it. Let's make it happen. I think the momentum of that is going to change over the next couple of weeks. I think we're going to see that the left is losing their brains right now because they came out of the DNC with barely a blip. Now, they're claiming they got this big bump on the polls. They did not get a big bump in the polls. A big bump. The normal bump is between 15 to 17%. There was not even a 2% bump nationally. This is a problem. Especially when Kennedy on Friday night kind of comes out and pulls the rug out from under. And there's, I'm going to support Trump now. I'm over here. I'm over. what do you mean? But I haven't been to Europe. Yeah. Legal speech. We have legal speech here, folks. Legal speech is any information that's true. Apparently, if you lie, it's illegal speech. No, sorry. I have the right to lie. Not that I would, but I do have the right to do so. Only the left apparently gets away with lying all the time, knowing that they're lying. This is, you know, willful knowing lies, disinformation. They feed us with it all the time, and they get away with it. I apologize for this show not having been live. Tomorrow morning, very different tomorrow morning. I have to get out the door at some point mid-morning, sometime before noon, and I am literally going to be at home doing a live show at home. It's not going to last very long. It's probably going to last about 30 minutes. There will be, by hook or by crook, a show tomorrow morning. It will be live, unless I have some kind of technical issues. Which is always possible. It's always a possibility. Because I will be on the boat tomorrow night. We take off early Friday morning for the Chi-Town, for the big bike ride, to get that all accomplished. So that'll be fun. I mean, spend some time with family, riding the bikes around, doing all that stuff. Do some sailing, take the family for some rides on the boat. God bless, folks. Have a great day. Continue to pray for our nation. Take care.